Hey, good morning, church. How are we doing? Yeah, my name is Frank. I'm the preacher here. Welcome to South Lansing Christian Church. Glad we get to hang out and spend this time together today. Earlier this week, Tracy, my wife, and I, we traveled to Midland, Michigan to visit a friend of ours who's in a hospital. You ever been to Midland? Who's been to Midland? I didn't know really anything about Midland except that it's obviously between two things because it's named Midland. But it's pretty cool town, you know. We took the back roads. We like to do that. You can go up 127 and then kind of over. But we decided to kind of go through Owosso and take the long way, which we like to do. We like to go the back roads. And it's not always convenient, but I think it's certainly a lot more interesting. So, for example, we got stopped in the town of Oakley. Anybody ever been to Oakley? Oakley? Yeah? Wow. No, that's not where they make the sunglasses. But we got stopped in Oakley, and but that was okay. There was like a train crossing the tracks. We sat there for 10 minutes. But they had a really cool 1930s McCormick Deering tractor right there that I got to check out. So that was all right. We got to do that. That was good. At one point, we're traveling down the road, and we're behind this big, long line of cars. And the person at the head of the line was doing like 50 mile an hour, just going super slow, right? You know, and that was okay because we got to look at farms and, you know, just kind of bemoan along with the farmers just how awful the crops are right now. Still, a lot of farm ground hasn't been planted. It isn't going to get planted. Got to see a lot of neat farms. Got to see the other side of the wind turbines. You know, when you go up 27, all the wind turbines are on your right, but we got to see them from our left, which we were actually kind of closer to them, which was kind of cool. And then, you know, when we came in the back way of Midland, we got to see like the big Dow chemical plant, and we got to see all of the parks and things they have there. Just really, really a cool town. We just like to do that. We like to go on road trips. It's for us, it's a really cheap date. Maybe some of you can relate. You just get in the car and you go drive somewhere. And you just drive around and you kind of do the whole looky-loo thing, right? Just looking around and seeing what all is going on. We love doing that. We love driving through small towns. We love looking at the big farms. We love looking at the planted fields. And I think for me at least, it's partly because it takes me back to my childhood. And I know that the other day when we went to Midland, I really felt nostalgic because a lot of the best years of my life were sitting on the fender of a tractor while my dad plowed or disced or planted or cultivated. And I just love that stuff. In fact, if I suddenly found myself in possession of $1 million, so if anybody, you want to invest in the preacher, if I suddenly found myself in possession of $1 million, I think what I would do is spend part of it on 80 acres with a barn. I really would, you know, because I just love that stuff. There's an old song by a guy named Rich Mullins. Some of you know Rich or know his music. And Rich is a lot like me in that he grew up in Indiana, about 2.5 hours south of me. He grew up on a farm and went to Bible college. But there's one of his songs in particular that just really resonates with me. And I think it's the lyrics that just really speak to me. I mean, the song talks about the sun rising, and it talks about the moon shining, and it talks about the wind dancing on the prairie and the ocean, the tide pulsing in the ocean. The chorus, though, is what really just kind of connects with me. And I just want to read the chorus to you. The chorus says, "The stuff of earth competes for the allegiance I owe only to the giver of all good things." If you love nature, if you love the stuff of earth, I think you probably can resonate or connect with these lyrics. The stuff of earth often does compete for the allegiance that we owe only to God. And I suspect that's especially true of us who live in Michigan. Michigan is just a beautiful state, right? We're just surrounded by natural beauty in Michigan. In fact, Tracy and I said we want to start seeing more of the state because we've lived here for 12 years and there's a lot of it we haven't even seen yet. But we're just surrounded by such beauty here in Michigan. Everywhere you look, there's something beautiful. And for a lot of us, that natural beauty even competes for the allegiance that we owe only to God, you know, the giver of all good things. If you're like me, it's too easy to become too attached to things. It's really easy for me to become too attached to things. I can grow too attached to natural things. When I mow, I like to have my rows straight. I'm kind of picky about mowing. I want to make sure that all the weeds are plucked out of my flower beds. In fact, I watered the flowers yesterday and thought, oh man, I really need to weed the flower beds again. I love those beautiful things. I love to look on things that are growing and just have them just so, but I can become too attached to them, to where my son, who he didn't know how to mow the lawn until he was in his 20s because I wouldn't let him, right? I'm just too attached, right? I can grow too attached to leisure activities. Maybe you're that way. One of my favorite things to do is sit on the deck and look at my straight lines and admire my weed-free flower beds. It's easy for me to grow too attached to leisure things. Maybe it is for you too. I can grow too attached to my possessions, like the antique tractor that we're fixing up. You know, 1962 Oliver. Some of you got to go on a tractor ride yesterday, which was really cool. But I can become too attached to that stuff. If you told me, if you said, hey, you've got to get rid of that tractor, honestly, I'd probably struggle with that because I'm probably a little too attached. And I don't know what it is for you, but I'll bet every one of us can identify something to which we are too attached. Maybe it's your lake cottage or time at the lake cottage. Maybe it's the car, and I've seen some of you do this. It's the car that you park across two spaces. You know people like that, don't you? You know, you park it across two spaces so that it won't get dinged because maybe you're a little too attached to it. Or maybe it's something that you eat or something that you drink you become too attached to. Or maybe it's something you watch, right? You can't imagine life without that television show. Or maybe it's something you consume online, right? And here's the thing, there isn't anything inherently wrong with a manicured lawn. There isn't anything inherently wrong with weed-free flower beds. There's nothing wrong with spending time at the lake. There's nothing wrong with all that stuff. Where we stray into problems, though, is when we allow those things to compete for the allegiance that we owe only to God. As Christians, God has our first allegiance. And so there's a rule that I think each of us, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're not, you're off the hook. You don't have to follow this rule. But if you're a follower of Jesus, there's a rule that I think each of us need to live by. Here it is. Attachments are for eternal things, not temporary things. Any attachment that you develop, it ought to be for something that's eternal, not for something that's temporary. Attachments are for eternal stuff, not temporary stuff. And there's a simple test that you can apply that will help you know whether or not you're attached to something. Simple test. You ready? Here it is. Can you imagine your life without it? If you can't imagine your life without whatever it is, then you're attached to it. Now, for some things, that's the way it's supposed to be. For some things, it's right and good to be attached to them. And you can't imagine your life without them. So, for example, I can't imagine my life without my spouse. I can't imagine my life without my children. I'm attached to them. That's the way it's supposed to be. Because people are eternal, and our attachments should be for eternal things, not temporary things. I can't imagine my life without them. That's the way it's supposed to be. But for far too many of us, we form attachments to things that are not eternal, but things that are temporary. So if you cannot imagine your life without your smartphone, you paying attention? Because some of you are looking at them right now. If you can't imagine your life without your smartphone, you're attached to that thing. And you know what? Some of you are, like 24/7. You're attached, right? And it should not be that way. We should only be attached to things that are eternal, not things that are temporary. If you can't imagine your life without your Netflix subscription, you're probably too attached to that television show. Or whatever it is, if it's your house or it's your car, it's your lake cottage. If you're attached to something that's temporary, listen, you're too attached because attachments ought only be for those things that are eternal, not for temporary stuff. John, the Apostle John, has something to say about that. Now, we've been in John's letter all month long. First John, we call it the Summer of Love because John talks about light and he talks about love. And John, in the section we're going to look at today, talks about being attached to things. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. If you got your Bible, you can turn there, be on the screen behind me, or you can follow along on our app on your smartphone. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. Some smart, sharp individual right now, their antenna are going off because they're remembering that this is not the only book that John has written, and that John uses that phrase, the world, in more than one place. John wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, also the book of Revelation. And so some sharp person is thinking, now, wait a minute, I've heard that phrase before. In fact, you know, I think John wrote that. Yes, that's right. John wrote in John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And so now that sharp person's thinking, now, wait a minute. On the one hand, John says God loved the world, but on the other hand, John wrote, do not love the world. And so maybe you're confused. Well, here's why he uses both of those words. On the one hand, when John uses the word, the phrase the world, he's talking about the people in the world. He's talking about people. That's what's permanent. That's what's eternal. On the other hand, when John uses that phrase, the world, what he's talking about are the systems of this world, the stuff of this world, the things that are temporary. You and I are called to love people. In that sense, we're called to love the world. But John says, if you love the world, that is the systems of this world, the stuff of this world, the things of this world, if you love that, John says, the love of the Father is not in you. That's some strong medicine. So how do you know if you love the things of this world? The question's very simple. Are you attached to them? If you're attached to the things of this world, then chances are you love the things of this world. And concerning those things, John is very clear. If you love the things of this world, the love of the Father is not in you. That's hard teaching. Look what John says in the next verse, 1 John 2:16. Here's why he says, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. Some of you might have a more traditional translation that says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Here's what's interesting about verse 16. The temptations of our day, the things with which we struggle, the temptations of our day are really no different than the temptations of John's day. What is more, they're not much different than the temptations that humanity has faced for all of history. In fact, if you go back to the Garden of Eden, the first time humanity sinned, you find these three temptations right there in the garden. Remember Eve? Eve took some fruit. It was forbidden fruit. Man and woman were told that you shouldn't eat this fruit, and Eve took the fruit and she ate it. Scripture says this, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, that's the craving for physical pleasure that John writes about, and when she saw that it was pleasing to the eye, that's the craving for everything that we see that John writes about. And when she saw that it was desirable for gaining wisdom, that's pride in our accomplishments, our achievements, and our possessions. Scripture says she took some and ate it. She gave it also to her husband who ate it, and he was with her, right? So these three sins with which we struggle, you know, the craving for physical pleasure, the craving for the things that we see, the unhealthy pride in our achievements and our possessions. Pretty much every temptation that you face fits into one of those three categories. Every temptation with which you struggle is either going to be the craving for physical pleasure, the craving for the things that you see, or an unhealthy pride in your achievements and possessions. So look at it this way. Overeating essentially is a craving for physical pleasure. It tastes really good, and so I don't put down the fork because I crave physical pleasure. Or over shopping. Any over shoppers? Don't raise your hand. Over shopping is a craving for the things that you see. In fact, marketers know that. That's why they have lots of big glossy pictures and not lots of words. Because they don't sell you things by words that you read. They speak to your eyes. And so over shopping is essentially a craving for everything that we see. Or arrogance, condescension. They're the result of an unhealthy pride in one's achievements or possessions. Pretty much every temptation that you face, that I face, fits into one of these three categories. You name a sin, it's in there. And why are they sins? They're sins because we're too attached to something we shouldn't be attached to. Your attachments should only be to things that are eternal, not to things that are temporary. Here's why. Look at verse 17. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. The two key words here in verse 17 are the inclusives. They're the words everything and anyone, because that pretty much includes, you know, everything and anyone. The first, everything, refers to the possessions, it refers to the property, the paraphernalia of our lives. All of that stuff, John says, is fading away. It's all going to burn, it's all going to rust, it's all going to degrade, it's all going to disappear. All that stuff is going away. The second word, anyone, that refers to people. Anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. The stuff is temporary, the people are eternal. And so John says, everything you crave is going to pass away, but if you do what pleases God, you'll live forever. And so here's my question, and this is where I've been struggling all week, and I hope you walk out of here struggling with it today too. I hope it bugs you. I hope it nags at you. I hope it causes you to do some soul searching and perhaps recalibrating. Here's my question. If attachments are for eternal things and not for temporary things, then why are we so attached to possessions? Because it's all going to burn anyway. You see, here's what I find. Far too many people cherish things and use people. They cherish stuff, but they use people. But for followers of Jesus, it should be the exact opposite. We should just use things and cherish people. We get that so twisted around. Why is it that we so easily discard people but do everything we can to hang on to things? I think there are a couple of possibilities, two possible reasons. Here's one, and I think it's simple. We just don't really believe in eternity. When it comes to heaven, we can talk a really good game. But if we take a serious look at your wallet and your calendar, we'll really discover whether or not you believe in eternity. If you let us, we're not gonna, right? But if you let us take a look at your date book and your checkbook, we'll be able to figure out where you're investing your time and your treasure. And that reveals whether or not you believe in eternity. Because if you're spending your time and your treasure on temporary things, the reality is that you think that all that there is in life are these 100 years, not the 100 billion years that are going to form the first chapter of an eternity with heaven or in heaven. The Apostle Paul wrote to some Christians living in the ancient city of Corinth. There was a city that had a lot of materialism and a lot of stuff going on there that we have here. Here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7:31. Really solid teaching. Paul says, those who use the things of the world, which that's the right perspective, those who use the things of the world should not become attached to them. For this world, as we know it, will soon pass away. So the challenge for us is, how can we use the things of this world without becoming attached to them? I'm going to give you some suggestions in just a minute. Jesus told his disciples, you remember Matthew chapter 6 is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is talking to his disciples about stuff. And he says, do not store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Maybe we get attached to things because we don't really believe in eternity. There's another scarier reason, though, that I think is possible. Maybe it's because of what John said, because the love of the Father is not in us. Because God doesn't love things, God loves people. So he uses things to bless people. He uses things to grow people or develop people, but it's not because he loves the things. God loves people. And that's hard for me because the things of this world compete for the allegiance that we owe only to God. It just really does. The stuff of earth competes against the stuff of heaven. So I want to give you three practical steps today. If you can walk out of here with these, if you got your phone, write these down or, you know, take a note or something, snap a picture of the screen here in just a minute. Three practical steps that you can take to loosen the power of stuff in your life. Number one, deny yourself some physical pleasure by fasting. Remember, John says that the temptations of this world include a craving for physical pleasure. Some of your Bible translations might say the lust of the flesh, a craving for physical pleasure. And so it's a very healthy thing for you to deny yourself, intentionally deny yourself some physical pleasure through fasting. And so what I'd encourage you to do is sometime put down the fork or drive past the coffee shop. Denying yourself some physical pleasure can have a positive effect on your faith. That's why Christians for centuries have practiced fasting. When you say no to something you physically crave, it helps recalibrate your sense of priority and remind you that God is first. Spiritual things come before physical things. And so one of the things you can do to get right in this area is to simply deny yourself some physical pleasure. Here's the second thing you can do. Limit what you look at. John says that the temptations of this world include a lust for the things that we see or that we crave, right? Crave the things that we see. So just be really intentional and limit what you look at. Cut down on the amount of television you see. You're just going to see a bunch of ads there, and it's going to make you want the stuff that they're trying to sell, right? It means put down the smartphone. It means spend less time at the mall window shopping or spend less time online shopping. Read a book instead of a magazine. And what'll happen, I think, if you do that is you will discover that the cravings of this world and this life will begin to diminish as you are intentional about what goes through the windows of your body, your eyes. There's an old song that we used to sing a long time ago, and the chorus says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." And so as we begin to train our eyes to look at spiritual things and look away from material and physical things, what you'll find is that the craving for the things that you see will begin to diminish in your life. That's the second thing. Here's the third thing. Stop talking about your achievements and possessions. Better yet, give something away. Your possessions can own you. It's supposed to be the other way around. You're supposed to own your possessions, but your possessions can own you. And that's really true. That's true of the preacher too. I discovered this just yesterday that I had to recalibrate a little bit because I was mowing my lawn with my brand new Honda lawnmower, right? I got a new Honda lawnmower after like 17 years or I don't know. It was a long time with the lawn boy. Me and the lawn boy, we had to part company because he wasn't just as good a lawn boy as he used to be. So we got the new Honda mower and I'm out there mowing, doing my straight lines, right? And the neighbor, Abakuk, comes over. He's living in my parents' house right now. The missionary comes over. Where he is, he's there somewhere. He's like, "Hey, man, I'll mow my lawn if you let me use your mower." And I'm like, "Okay." "You want to use my mower? The new mower, the new Honda." In my head, I'm going, "Straight lines are everything, bro." Jonah didn't even learn how to mow the lawn until he was in his 20s because I just wouldn't let him, right? I'm like, "No, yeah." I'm like, "Okay, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, you can mow my lawn. Yeah, yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, yeah." And so I gave him lessons on how to start a mower, you know? It's a healthy thing if you have something that you think begins to own you. If you have something, it's a possession, but it possesses you instead of you possessing it. It's a healthy thing for you to give it away or for you to lend it to someone else, for you to break that hold that that thing has on you. And so what I want to encourage you to do, if there's something that owns you instead of you owning it, you should seriously think about giving it away. Or at least loaning it to somebody. Right? Because giving something away is a great demonstration of love. Back to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Giving something away is an incredible demonstration of love. And so as we come to the table today to celebrate what God gave us, redemption through his son Jesus, forgiveness of sin through Jesus' sacrifice, as we celebrate what Jesus did for us, that gift from God today, it'd be a healthy thing for you to come to the table and say, okay, Lord, is there something I need to give away? First and foremost, God, I know you're calling me to give you my heart, give you my life. But Lord, is there something that possesses me that I need to give away, that I need to recalibrate, that I need to move on from? Because why? Because attachments are only for eternal things, not for temporary things. And you know what? My Honda ain't following me into heaven. And neither is your stuff. I just want to pray for you, and then we'll come and celebrate what Jesus did for us. God, thank you for your son, Jesus, the forgiveness that we have through his name. Lord, as we reflect on the things that we have, the things that we want, our pride and our achievements, Lord, reveal to us where we need to recalibrate, where we need to change. Lord, help us not to take the easy way out. I mean, really just help us to wrestle with this week and in the coming weeks. And Lord, to focus on that which is eternal, you and the people that you've placed in our path to do life with. Thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus, that we celebrate right now through the eating of this bread and the drinking of this wine. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing. And as we do, you can come and receive this gift.